Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. I'd like to speak to you this morning on the subject, God's D-Day. God's D-Day. Mark 15, verse 1. And straightway in the morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus, and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto them, Thou sayest it. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas that had made insurrection with him and had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying out, began to desire him to do as he had done before unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. But the chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I do unto him who is called the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head, and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon of Cyrene, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear the cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, and he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the king of the Jews. And when they had crucified two thieves, the one on the right hand, the other on the left, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, And he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads, saying, Ah, those that thou that destroyest the temple and buildest in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said unto him among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by him, when they heard it, said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, Surely this man was the Son of God. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and the less, and of Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of this account. Even though it's familiar to us, help us never, Lord, to get used to this. the account of Jesus dying for our sins. We thank you for what was accomplished on the cross that day. And I pray you would remind us who know the Lord as our Savior of the price you paid for our liberty, for our freedom, for our salvation. If there's one here, Lord, who has never trusted Jesus, I pray that today be the day of salvation for them. Give enablement to bring the message, get honor for yourself, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 42 years ago, this past Thursday, I had my own D-Day. Up to that day, my wife and I had three sons, Joseph, Jason, and John. But on June the 6th, 1977, we had our first daughter, Jenny. So June the 6th was our daughter day. That makes it easy for us to remember that historical date on June the 6th called D-Day. On June the 6th, 1944, the Allied forces landed on the French coast of Normandy. It has been hailed as the largest invasion in military history and the beginning of the end of World War II. In January of 1944, Dwight D. Eisenhower was made the Allied Supreme Commander of the U.S. forces for Operation Overlord, a code name for the planned invasion of the Nazi fortified coast of France on the Normandy region. In planning for the invasion, the Normandy region was divided into five beaches along the 50-mile stretch of coast. The regions were named Gold and Silver, and those were the beaches that were assigned to the British troops. Juno was a beach assigned to the Canadian forces, and Utah and Omaha Beach were assigned to the U.S. forces. The invasion from the sea began at 6:30 a.m. that morning, on the morning of June the 6th, 1944. But earlier on that day, around 2 o'clock in the morning, around 13,100 American paratroopers of the 82nd and 101st Airborne Division made nighttime parachute drops behind enemy lines. Brother Barney Stevens, who is with us this morning, our assistant pastor, his father, Kenneth E. Stevens, was one of those paratroopers. When he hit the ground, his leg was broken, and his parachute drug him through barbed wire, leading him bleeding and from his wounds and also with a broken leg. He was left in a foxhole and was captured as a prisoner of war by the Nazis. On that historic day, the Allied forces suffered thousands of fatalities as men gave their lives for the cause of rescuing the world from the crazed and demented Adolf Hitler, an evil man. That was the beginning of a campaign that was completed in August 1944 and resulted in the Allied liberation of the Western Europe from Nazi Germany control. Sometime later, on May the 8th, 1945, Germany surrendered, their leader Adolf Hitler having committed suicide 1 week before on April the 30th, 1945. We owe so much to those brave men and women who served our country during World War II. Without their sacrifice, we would not have the freedom and liberty we have today, and it's no telling what would have happened if Adolf Hitler would have been able to continue his goals for domination in the world. In the spiritual sense, God also had a D-Day, where he fought for us at great sacrifice and made possible for us to enjoy liberty and freedom from the wages of sin and from the bondage of sin and from the tyranny of Satan himself. God's D-Day was the day that he went to the cross of Calvary and suffered for our sins, paying the price for us so that we could be free. That was God's D-Day. This morning, I want us to consider some similarities between God's D-Day and the D-Day in 1944 on June the 6th. The first one is this. God's D-Day was planned. Now, we think about that D-Day in 1944 on June the 6th. It was originally planned for May. But then because they weren't quite ready and things didn't seem to be quite right, they changed it to June the 5th. But because of inclement weather, they then changed it again to June the 6th, and that's the day that it took place. Have you ever wondered why they call it D-Day? You know, you think about, well, D-Day, what does that mean? Well, an aide to Eisenhower one time said it meant designated day. But that wasn't exactly right, because it was a code way of the military determining that it was the day. It was the day. And they did that so that they would not let it be published or written in any way, so the enemy would know what day it was. The authorities knew what day it was. And so they just called it D-Day, or the day. And that was what D-Day meant. Now, God's D-Day was also planned. It was planned in such a way that there's every detail of it was planned by God. He knew it before the foundation of the world. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, that Jesus, it was planned before the foundation of the world that Jesus would die for our sins. And so D-Day was planned by God, God's D-Day. God knew that man would fall into sin. God knew that when he gave man the choice that man would sin. God knows everything. And so God, before sin ever happened, God planned it. So you might say grace is older than sin. And God planned for God, Jesus to die on the cross. God knew what to do to make man, to give man a way to heaven. God knew that man couldn't provide his way. Man couldn't work his way to heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God knew that. Jesus came to earth for the purpose of redeeming us. And so the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. In the fullness of time, when God knew exactly when it was to be, that Jesus was to come to the earth, and God knew exactly the day that Jesus would die on the cross of Calvary. It was planned in detail. In fact, the Old Testament prophecies speak of it. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says that that on him would be laid the iniquity of us all. And God knew that. God planned that. At the planned time, God delivered Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary. The scripture says it like this in Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain the Lord Jesus. So the people at the cross thought they were in control. They thought they were taking and grabbing Jesus and hanging him on the cross and nailing those nails, and they did. They were responsible because they did it, and they wanted to do it. But they didn't know that God had already planned that they would do it. He being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And so Jesus, his death was planned by God. So God's D-Day was planned. Also, God's D-Day was purposeful. The D-Day in 1944 had a purpose. I want you to note General Eisenhower's words to the troops. He said this, "You are about to embark on the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you." The purpose was to guarantee liberty. The purpose was to rescue France, and purpose was to rescue the world from this evil man called Hitler and also the evil forces of Japan. And so the purpose was settled, and it had a purpose. Well, God's D-Day also had a purpose. God's purpose was to glorify himself by paying for the sins of the world on the cross of Calvary and providing a way that people could be saved. That was God's purpose. And God sent forth his Son to redeem those. And so God had a purpose to redeem people. Isaiah makes it clear in Isaiah 53. It says he was going to make his soul an offering for his sin. That was God's purpose. Isaiah 53:6, he was going to lay on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53:11, he shall bear their iniquities. And John 3:17, that the world through him might be saved. God had a plan, and the plan for God's D-Day on the cross was that Jesus Christ would pay for the sins of the world. 1 Corinthians 13 or 15, verse 3 says, Christ died for our sins. There was a purpose for his death. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. God's purpose was to let Jesus be our substitute and die for our sins on the cross of Calvary. That was the purpose of God's D-Day of the cross. And then also, God's D-Day was against evil forces. Now you look back in 1944, and Hitler was the personification of evil. He had exterminated 6 million Jews and was willing to kill anyone who stood in his way as he sought world domination. He was an evil man. But also, the people who followed him were evil. Many of those, of course, were soldiers that maybe didn't like what they were doing, but there were many of those soldiers who were just evil like Adolf was. And they desired to be involved in this, and they relished being able to kill people. It's sad to say, but Brother Stevens, Barney's dad, experienced that as he lay in a Nazi war camp. And as he told the story how that he lay there in the Nazi war camp, and they had mats laying on the ground, on hard ground, and just mats filled with sawdust. And they weren't cared for. He had a broken leg, he had wounds from the barbed wire and all of that, but they weren't caring for him. All they gave him to eat was a cup of water and a piece of brown bread 3 times a day, and that was it. And they didn't take care of him, they didn't give him an aspirin or anything else. And Mr. Stevens told the story about how he was laying there, and a Nazi soldier came in, and he was in charge of these people, and there was a soldier laying close to Mr. Stevens, who was moaning and groaning because of his pain. He was in such pain. And the soldier told him to shut up. The Nazi told him to shut up. And he couldn't help it. He was in such pain. And the Nazi took a sword and cut his head off right there in front of everybody. That shows how evil people were. And the evil people following the evil man, it was surely true that on D-Day, June the 6th, 1944, it was against evil forces. But God's D-Day also was against evil forces. The Bible makes it clear that Satan is against God and he's against us. And it was Satan's desire to kill Jesus. It was Satan's desire to do him in. But there was a greater enemy than Satan. And that is, the greater enemy than Satan is your own sin and my sin. And our sin is what really nailed Jesus to the cross of Calvary. You see, sin separates us from God and will send us to hell. Sin is a terrible enemy. And on the cross, Jesus willingly took on himself all of our sin. He took the evil of our sin upon himself. And the Bible says and makes it clear in Isaiah 53:6, that on him was laid the iniquity of us all. That means all of our sin, every one of them. Not just yours and mine, that would be a big load, but all the sin of all the world was laid on Jesus. There's no way we can even contemplate that. There's no way we can quite understand that. That all the sin of the world, the evil of the world, was laid on Jesus. And there he took it upon himself and he died and he experienced the punishment for sin for us. Is it any wonder that as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane considering what was about to happen, the Bible says Jesus, the God-man, sweat as it were great drops of blood, and cried out, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He knew what it involved. He knew what was happening. He knew the evil forces of sin was going to be laid on him, and he knew what was going to take place. And on the cross of Calvary, he experienced that, because what we deserve for our sins is to be separated from God. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was experiencing that for us. Oh, the evil that Jesus faced on the cross of Calvary. But also, God's D-Day was costly. D-Day in 1944 was costly. I didn't come up with a figure money-wise of what it cost on that day, but it must have been tremendous. Hundreds of thousands of troops and all the equipment and all of that, it must have been a great expense. But then there's the expense of the lost lives. Thousands of men gave their lives on that day. Then there was the expense of the wounded soldiers, such as Mr. Stevens, who was wounded as he came in as a paratrooper, and he was wounded, broke his leg, and then experienced the abuse from the Nazi soldiers. There was that cost. Then there was the cost of the mental stress that was on so many of those after they got back from the war, and it continued through their life. And then there was the cost of broken homes, mothers left without their husband, children left without their dad. And it was just a terrible cost of the war back in 1944 and 1945. Well, it actually began, I think, in 1939. But an awful cost, especially on that D-Day, the greatest invasion. But then God's D-Day also resulted in a great cost. And it was a cost of the battle that took place that day. You think of the greatest battle that ever was, I think it was at the cross. Because all the sin of the world was laid on Jesus, and he had to deal with it. He had to deal with that. And so he suffered, and he bled, and he died for us. He experienced the pain of crucifixion. What terrible pain. I mean, he experienced all kinds of pains before they ever crucified him. The whipped back, the crown of thorns on his head, and the plucked out beard, and all of those things, and hitting him and buffeting him with their fists, and all the things they went through. And then they hung him on the cross of Calvary, put the nails in his hands and his feet. What terrible pain he experienced. And then he was forsaken by all of his friends. The Bible says all of them forsook him and fled. You remember one of his closest followers was Peter. And Peter said, "Lord, I'll never deny you." But he did. And he said, "I never knew him." And he cursed and said, "I never knew him." And Jesus was forsaken by everyone. And that day of loneliness on the cross of Calvary, as he paid the price for our sins, he became sin for us. What a cost. The spotless Lamb of God becoming sin for us. Can you imagine that? No, we can't. It's no way we can imagine what it would be that someone who had never sinned, I mean, never even had a bad thought. Jesus never sinned at all. And yet willingly he took our sin upon himself. He died for the murderer. He died for the rapist. He died for the thief. He died for the cheat. He died for the liar. He died for the fornicator. He died for the adulterer. He died for everyone. And all their sin was laid on him. And he experienced the wrath of God for our sin on the cross of Calvary. And that's why he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was experiencing what we deserve, to be forsaken by God. And then he shed his blood and died on the cross. The Bible describes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, as the precious blood of Christ. Blood of a spotless lamb dying in our place, bearing our punishment on the cross. It surely was a costly day for Jesus Christ. And then God's D-Day was also victorious. We're glad to say that. Well, D-Day in 1944 was victorious. It began the road to victory that culminated in the final victory on May the 8th, 1945. And it was a victorious day. It resulted then in a final victory. And so it was a victorious time. But also, God's day was victorious. On the cross of Calvary, he did pay for all of our sins. I mean, he paid completely. That was proven by the resurrection 3 days later when he rose from the grave as absolute proof that it was all paid for. All the sin of all the world was laid on Jesus, and he took the wrath of God that we deserved for it, and he paid it all. It's an offense to God when you think you're going to earn your way to heaven when he already paid for it. And so you don't earn your way to heaven. You receive the free gift of eternal life through Jesus because he paid for it on the cross of Calvary. And so he was victorious. He paid for our sins. Salvation was made available for everyone. And so whosoever will can come and accept the Lord as their Savior. And whosoever will can go to heaven, not because they deserve it, but because Jesus paid for it. I mean, that was a victorious day. Also, Satan was defeated. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, we read this, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, that involves the devil and all of his demons, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And so the Lord Jesus Christ destroyed the devil. After that, the devil is a defeated foe, and his doom is set, and it cannot be changed because Jesus defeated him on the cross of Calvary. God was glorified in that day, and Jesus, what he did for us on the cross, brings glory to God. And in the ages to come, we who are saved are going to be able, our story is going to be told how God in his grace was so kind to us, and all that brings glory to God throughout all the ages. So it was a victorious day when Jesus died on the cross. But then also God's D-Day was rewarding. It was rewarding. You see, D-Day in 1944 helped bring the defeat of Nazi Germany and ensured us continued liberty. That's a great reward. I mean, you go on the 75th anniversary, and people from different countries were celebrating because they realized that this was so important what happened that day. It was rewarding. It accomplished great things. It put down an evil leader and made possible freedom. And so it was a rewarding day. Well, God's D-Day also is rewarding. Salvation available to everybody. You can be saved. You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven. Why? Because God fought for you, and he paid the price for you on the cross of Calvary. Believers are forgiven. They're justified. They're adopted into God's family, and they're promised someday they'll be glorified and have a brand new body and a home in heaven forever and ever. Without God's D-Day, there would be no salvation. There would be no possibility of a right standing before God. There would be no liberty and from sin, no, and breaking of the bondage of sin. And there would definitely be no home in heaven because sin cannot go into heaven. So without Jesus dying on the cross, there would be no reward at all. But thank the Lord there's reward because he died. And then I'd like to make one other observation. And that is God's D-Day is also celebrated. On Thursday, they celebrated the 75th anniversary. Because of things I had to do that day, I didn't get to watch that coverage. I hope I can still find it and watch some of it. All I saw was on my phone. I got to see part of the president's speech. But it was a day of celebration. Why was it celebrated? 75 years later, why is it celebrated? Because it's still so important. It's still so important. We don't have to live under evil people like Hitler. And there's freedom available because of the sacrifice of those men. So it's a celebrated day. But God's D-Day is also celebrated. We celebrate it today because this is Sunday. What is Sunday? It's the day that Jesus, the first day of the week, that Jesus rose from the grave. Why is that important? Because of what happened before that. And that is, he died and he was put in the grave as evidence of his death. And if Jesus didn't rise, that would mean, wait a minute, he must not have paid for everything. But when he rose from the grave, it was proof that it's all paid for and our salvation is available to us if we'll only believe in him. And so we celebrate that every Sunday because Jesus is alive. And that D-Day was won on the cross many years ago for us. We also celebrate it every time we partake of communion. And when I announce a communion service, you really as a Christian should do everything you can to be here. Because the Lord says, do this in remembrance of me. And he says, when you partake of this, you do it in remembrance of me. And at our church, we only do it 4 times a year. So it's not that often. But we should want to come because we partake of those elements, the broken bread and the cup that represents the Lord's blood, the broken bread representing his body. And he says, this do in remembrance of me. So when we partake of those, we think back on the cross of Calvary. We think about how his body was mutilated for us. We think about how he shed his blood for us. And so it's celebrated every time that we partake of the Lord's Supper. But then it's also celebrated on a daily basis by everybody who knows Jesus. That is, all of us pray, don't we? We pray. We thank the Lord for our food. We ask the Lord for help. We ask the Lord for direction. We talk to the Lord. We thank Him for His goodness. And how do we end the prayer? We say, in Jesus' name. And that's a remembrance, in Jesus' name. Why do we say in Jesus' name? Because we know there would be no way we could talk to God if it wasn't for Jesus. There'd be no way we could talk to God unless it was for what happened on the cross of Calvary. God's D-Day is a wonderful day. And Jesus died for us. We should celebrate that. Yes, God's D-Day was the day that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. It was planned. It was purposeful. It was against evil forces. It was costly. It was victorious. It was rewarding. And it was celebrated. The victory of that day can be our victory. Jesus was victorious that day. He did what He came to do. He paid for our sins. It was proven 3 days later when He rose from the grave. He was victorious. And if we believe in His death, burial, and His resurrection for us, for our sins, and we trust what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary, calling out to Him and saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe You paid for my sin, and I want You to be my Savior. I receive You right now. Then the Bible says we can be saved. Romans 10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We can be saved if we believe in Jesus. You can be free from condemnation. You can be free from the bondage of sin. You can be free to serve God, and you can be free someday to go to heaven. All because of God's D-Day on the cross of Calvary many years ago. So hopefully next year when you think of D-Day, now when I think of it, I'll think of Jenny's birthday. Because she was born on that day. But I also think that's the day that our forces stormed the beaches of Normandy, and they gave their lives, many of them, for our freedom. But then I think there's God's D-Day, and that's the cross of Calvary. I thank Him so much for what He did that day. Let's pray. Father, thank You today for reminding us of what You did for us. May it always in our mind be our D-Day, because it's the day Jesus died for us. I pray, Lord, that You would help us as Christians to have it clear in our minds what Jesus did. May we always have ready a clear presentation of the gospel, the good news about what He did for us, and maybe we'd be willing to share it with those around us. Help us to always be thankful for that day that You gave Your all for us. And thank You, Lord, that You rose from the grave. You're alive today. And if there's anyone here today who's never yet trusted Jesus as their Savior, I pray that today will be the day that they put their faith in Jesus. We ask in His name. Amen.